Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Bonjour tout le monde. And if you're wondering why I'm speaking in French again, well, that's because I got Hack Ride all the way from France on the show today. And I'm going to be cooking for them a synesthesia keema pao. That's a very delicious and flavorful, but not too spicy, keema with delicious bread pao, fresh from my local bakery. Fresh and delicious. Let's go make that keema pao. So for those who don't know, keema is basically mutton mince. And it's, I would say, keema pao is like a chili, an Indian chili, so to speak. When I say chili, I mean the Mexican chili, like chili con carne. So, but it's very simple, very masaledar, and it's very delicious. You can eat it as a main course or a snack. And it's so simple, it's just too simple. So we're going to start by heating some oil in our, I'm using a wok today, but you can use a saucepan or a frying pan also. So I'm going to heat about 2 to 3 tablespoons of regular vegetable oil. And I want to get that nice and hot. So what we're going to do is we're going to put some onions into this hot oil. Like about, I would say, one chopped onion. And we really want to cook these onions low, slow, till they're nice and evenly brown. Not translucent, brown. And we want to extract all those delicious sweet flavors from the onion. And you can hear the onions starting to sizzle and cook. The oil is nice and hot. Now at this point, I'm going to throw in some cumin seeds. But ideally, if you have cumin powder or jeera powder, use that so that you don't get pieces of jeera in your mouth. Though it won't really matter, it's quite tasty. So I'm going to put a spoon of jeera in this now. And let it cook with the onions. And the thing with this dish is you want to keep stirring it. Or as we say in India, you have to bhunao the keema and you have to bhunao the onions. And I think bhunaoing basically means to constantly stir and work the pan, so to speak. Remember, these onions have got to get nice and evenly brown. You can see the onions are slightly translucent already. But that's not good enough. We want them brown, brown, brown. And you're getting that wonderful smell of the onions and the jeera or the cumin. Quite divine, I would say. And of course, if you like it spicy, throw in a chopped in green chili. And you can make keema pao with other meats as well. You can use chicken mince, beef mince, lamb mince, pork mince, but I think originally, or at least I reckon, originally keema pao is mutton. I think it's the meat that goes best with this kind of preparation. But yeah, of course, if you don't eat mutton or if you can't find mutton, lamb is a good alternative. And if you're one of those health conscious people or you just don't eat mutton or lamb, chicken will do as well. But remember, chicken cooks a lot faster than mutton does. You can see the edges of the onion browning slowly. And you have to keep stirring it. You don't want this to burn at any point. So at this point, I'm going to add in a spoonful of ginger garlic paste. And remember to keep stirring. You want that ginger and garlic to cook nicely with the onions and the cumin seeds. As always, you can use chopped garlic and chopped ginger as well. See, the onions are getting nice and brown and it smells quite heavenly. Look at that, the onions are golden brown, absolutely delicious. So now that the onions are brown, we're going to put in our mince right now, the keema, And I'm using about 400 grams of keema. And remember, you've got to bunao the keema. You don't want it to form lumps. That smells divine and delicious. And at this point, we're going to put in a splash of water to kind of get some of that flavor out. This also helps the keema from forming lumps. You can also soak the keema in water beforehand, so you know, to get rid of some of the lumps. But it's just constant stirring and bunawing and creating the delicious keema pav. And if you see that the water has dried up, you can add a little bit more. You want to get all those flavors out of that caramelized onion and as well as the keema. You know, keep it from sticking together and forming lumps. You want a nice fine keema. So now that your keema is starting to get cooked, we're going to put in grated tomato. Now, I basically don't want the skin of the tomato, so I've grated about 3 small tomatoes. If you have bigger size tomatoes, use 2. And you can also alternatively use tomato paste. That should give you the nice flavor of the tomato. So I'm going to pour in our tomato. And mix it in nicely. And you're going to cook this for a while and get that, you know, raw tomato flavor out of it. You want it to cook till you see the tomato and the oil kind of separate. And that's kind of when you know the tomatoes are done, you know. Now at this point, I'm going to season the keema as well. So put a generous amount of salt. And of course, our spices. So I'm going to put a spoon of Kashmiri chili powder, about half a spoon of turmeric, a spoon of coriander powder, or as we call it, dhania powder, little more than a spoon actually, and a small spoon of garam masala. But if you haven't put the cumin seeds beforehand, you can put jeera powder right now. So you mix in all these spices well. You really want that to get into the keema. And remember, keep bunawing it, as they say. Bunao, bunao, bunao. So you can see the keema is nice and fine. And all the delicious flavors are getting incorporated into it. Now at this point, what I'm going to do is put in a little bit more water. Give it a good stir. Cover it up. And just let it cook for a good amount of time. Open it up every once in a while, stir it around. See that the tomatoes have gotten cooked properly, and remember to taste, taste, taste. And keema is a really, really versatile dish. You can just throw in some peas and you've got keema matar. You can throw in some spinach and you've got a healthy keema pav. You can throw in an egg and you've got keema gotala or gotala, whatever it's called. But yeah, it's a delicious, versatile dish. Now we're just going to let this keema cook for a bit. So our keema has been cooking for about 7 to 10 minutes now, and I opened it every 2 minutes to bunao it to make sure it's, you know, not lumping up or anything. Added a little bit of water, and as you can see here, our keema is cooked nicely. Now it's not too watery, it doesn't have much of a gravy to it, but that's because I prefer my keema sukha, you know. So that's kind of how I made it, but if you like it with a little more gravy, feel free to put some more water in there and, you know, get a nice rich gravy to it. So the keema is about done now, and we're going to finish it off with a bunch of fresh coriander. And I love coriander. I use it with the stalks and the leaves and everything, you know. It's just so flavorful. Don't waste any of it. So you mix it in with the fresh coriander and turn the gas off. And that lovely fresh flavor of the coriander or the kothmir is in the keema. Look at it. Beautiful. And that's pretty much it. Your keema pav is ready. All you gotta do is serve it. Look at that delicious keema and fresh bread pav. And you can put some butter on this pav and toast it on the tawa or put it in the oven. You can even put it in the leftover keema masala and you know you get a keema masala pav. But I'm just using it the way it is. So here you have it, the Synesthesia keema pav. And we're going to go find Hackright and feed this to them. Hope they like it. Hey, and welcome back to Headbangers Kitchen. I'm here with Louis and Flo from Hackright. Hey guys, how are you doing?
We're doing pretty well, thank you.
Very good, yeah.
You guys enjoying the weather?
Very much. Yeah. There's a very nice rain outside. It feels like it's the beginning of the monsoon season and it feels very refreshing. So yeah, we're doing well.
Nice. So you guys just, completed a couple of gigs. I think Hyderabad, Nasik and Mumbai you've played so far and you're on your way to Kolkata. How have the shows been so far?
The show in Hyderabad was pretty intense. The crowd response was extremely positive. I don't think I ever seen such a warm welcome. I mean, people were going fucking crazy in the big mosh pits, lots of headbanging, so it was really cool. The Nasik show, unfortunately, was cancelled because of technical problems with the guitar amps, and yesterday in Mumbai was pretty awesome as well. Yeah.
Nice. And how has the experience been coming to India? Because I know Hackright has come to India, but the two of you have just recently joined, and this is your first trip to India, so how has the experience been so far?
It's a totally different place here. I mean, from what we're used to, we travel Europe very often. And so, but here it's like you cannot compare with anything else that you've experienced before. And people have been very nice to us. We've seen lots of smiles since we got here. We tried lots of different food, actually, lots of different dishes, very tasty, lots of flavors. It's been great so far, and a pretty powerful experience, I would say.
And how has the food been in India so far? Have you eaten anything that you recall or, really enjoy?
I really love the tikka masala.
Of course, the naans.
The naans, yeah, we
eat. Kind of naans.
Yeah.
Since French people, we are really into bread, so we eat naans like at every meal that we have here.
Yeah.
And the naans are great. But yeah, we like the tikka masala a lot. We like
chicken kebab.
Yeah,
I like my food to be a bit spicy, so I'm really enjoying my time here. But it's almost too spicy. Guys take it to a different level, and it's almost surreal. And so my stomach is feeling a bit weird, but I'm really enjoying it. My mouth just says thank you for all these different flavors.
Of course, coming from France, that has a huge culinary history. Do you guys, do any cooking of your own, or what do you like to eat?
Yeah.
You want to go for this one?
What do you like
to
eat?
That's an example for, I'm not typically French to represent the French gastronomy. Yeah. But yeah, we cook. Yeah, we cook with a lot of butter,
yeah.
Crème fraîche, wine and cheese.
That sounds like a recipe for success.
That sounds fresh.
Yeah, I do cook some classical, traditional French meals like stew, stews.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one that I really enjoy, which is called bœuf bourguignon, like Burgundy Ooh. Beef.
Yeah, know? Beef bourguignon, yeah, of course. Beef.
Really, I really enjoy doing that. What else do I do? Just some roasted chicken in the oven, with some potatoes. Nothing really tough to make, but I can cook a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But, if your question was what I really enjoy eating.
Yeah, what do you also enjoy eating? What's your favorite food? Like if you had one dish, you know, your last meal, what would that be?
I would have to make this in two parts. I mean, for appetizer,
okay,
would be Chinese dumplings, steamed dumplings.
Okay.
I think it can be the Shanghai dumplings or the Beijing dumplings, whatever. I really enjoy those steamed dumplings with a bit of soya sauce and some chili sauce. It's like my it's my ultimate sin for starter.
Okay.
Then when I have to go for the main course, would have to be some roasted chicken, Chinese style again.
Oh.
With steamed white rice, very simple as well. But yeah, that's what I really, really enjoy eating. I think Chinese food is one of the best food. I mean, China is one of the best food destinations that I ever been to.
Oh, you've been to China?
Yeah, yeah. And the food is comes with. I mean, there are many, many different kinds of dishes for every meal. And it's just crazy how much different flavors, how many different dishes they have. It's a very ancient culture of cooking, and I think they're really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, Chinese food is awesome.
Yeah.
You should try the Indian Chinese sometime.
Yeah, I think I tried some of it yesterday, and it was good.
Yeah. And what about you? What would be your last meal?
Le pot-au-feu. Pot-au-feu.
Typical French.
Yeah, it's like.
It's a stew.
Face. Beef,
yeah.
Potatoes, carrots, and I don't know the word navet in French. It's a kind of potato.
It's a nice stew, very simple as well, that you can do during the winter. It's it feels kind of healthy. Lots of vegetables.
My ultimate meal.
Nice. We'll have to
my
check that out.
My grandmother cooked for me.
So. Awesome. We'll have to get your recipe sometime and have you on the show actually cooking maybe.
Sure, yeah, I'd love to, man.
Yeah,
love
definitely. Maybe on your next trip.
Yeah, on my next trip, I'll be cooking something for you.
Super. So, let's speak a little bit about music. You know, you've actually just recently joined Hackride, both of you. So, how did you end up joining Hackride? I mean, you know, what's your story?
Maybe this guy should start because he joined Hackride before me.
I am a friend of Adrien and Ben, who are the guitar player and the bass player, since a long time. And when Olive has gone and Mike take his place, he has gone too, and on the other side of the world. And Ben asked me to join the band naturally because we are from the same city. And the first question was for me: I have Clone too, another French band.
Yeah.
So how to schedule both?
Yeah, both bands.
So finally I said yes, because I would regret it if I had said no. So for the moment everything worked concerning the schedule. And after Sam decided to leave the band because of personal choice, because of his family, always the same thing.
Yeah.
When you're a musician and you have a professional and personal,
yeah,
children or whatever. And I decided to call Luis, who I know since a few years, because you have a band called Sinscale.
Yeah.
And the guitar player of Clone played in this band. Oh, it's kind of family.
And
I've
been friends with Tripalium, the French band,
yeah,
for many, many years now.
Yeah.
And so we're in the same circle of musical friends, you know.
Yeah.
And I sent you an email.
He sent me an email, then he called me. Then the guy sent me a song, which is called the main track of the album, Overcome. I demoed it back home, sent it back to them via email, and they said they really liked it. And Adrien called me a few days later and said, if you want to join the band, we'd be very happy to welcome you. So we met in a bar the following week. We had a couple of drinks and realized we were on the same page, and that was it. And here I am now.
Now, turning in
here.
Yeah. Nice. So you were talking about, you know, people leaving bands because of family and personal reasons. And I think a lot of people don't realize what kind of a lifestyle you have to lead. You know, they think it's a rock star lifestyle. You're partying on the road every day.
Yeah.
You know, what is it really like being in a band? How financially, you know...
Horrible.
You know,
we all have daily jobs, you know, on the side. Music is our primary passion, but it doesn't pay the bills. So, It's just playing music is a lot. It takes a lot of time, dedication, and you have to be really passionate about it because obviously you're gonna have to sacrifice many things on the side, like spending time with your family maybe or with your girlfriend, missing some time at work. So it's not easy to arrange because you can get fired, you know, if you go on tour for like a month and then and your boss is just like, what are you doing, you know? So it's tough.
So what is your day job? You said you have a day job.
Yeah, I'm like a marketing assistant, pretty much. So I spend a lot of time behind my computer working on Excel, doing market studies and stuff like that.
Oh, and what about you? Do you have a day job or are you doing music?
I give drums lessons.
Oh, you give drum lessons.
Drums lessons, and you know, we have a change in France. We got a lot of social welfare. And I have to admit that I earn money with the state, the French state. So yeah, because I tell you that because a lot of musicians are in the same case. So there is a system called intermittence. When you have did when you have done enough official gig, you can earn money officially during almost 1 year. But in our case, we do a lot of gigs. But it's
not all the time
official and it's metal, you know?
The French state could be supporting lots of metal bands, actually, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't really talk about this subject often, but...
Yeah, but it's always the drummer who's the one who's playing music most of the times, I've noticed in the bands, because drummers play like in multiple bands all the time.
Yeah, drummers are very... especially good drummers like Flo and the metal movement. I mean, the metal music nowadays has so many extreme drummers that you know, it's not easy to find a good drummer.
Absolutely. So how did you guys get into metal, you know?
I started out listening to metal when I was 11, I think. My sister told me it was really bad to listen to metal because she went to a Catholic school and she saw those stupid propaganda videos about Ozzy Osbourne and Led Zeppelin, you know, with the reverse satanic
messages
and stuff like that. So it felt even more exciting for me to get into it. So I started listening to AC/DC, Guns N' Roses. Then it was the beginning of the grunge era in the early 90s. So I started listening to Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots, all those bands. Then I went on to thrash, like bands like Anthrax, Pantera, Sepultura, all the classics. And then I moved on to extreme music, like really extreme stuff like death metal, grindcore, black metal.
I noticed you wearing a Mayhem t-shirt yesterday.
Yeah, I'm a big black metal fan. But then we also listened to different sorts of music, but we were very passionate about the metal and I liked all the subgenres like stoner, doom.
Everything.
Yeah,
basically.
I pretty much embrace everything. We also like punk and hardcore music. Yeah. So,
how did you start listening to metal?
Yeah, first during when I was a teenager with my brother, I listened only hip hop or R&B or funk, because there was a war between the rocker and the rapper. You know, when you are young, AC/DC against. Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
Stupidity. And after I discovered Biohazard.
The crossover stuff.
Yeah.
Body Count.
Biohazard at Best of Trash. It's a broadcast, French broadcast.
Yeah.
Like all teenagers in French know this this broadcast. And I discovered that. And okay, the perfect mix between what I like in groove, groovy bands and with fat guitars and a big voice. And so I discovered hardcore, all the New York scene, Chromax, Sick of It All, Madball,
Agnostic
Front, and all this kind of stuff. Urban punk hardcore.
Yeah.
And I liked the California scene to NoFX, No Use for Name, the punk rock. And after I joined Clone, I discovered a lot of things like Porcupine Tree, Tool, King Crimson, all the progressive music. And I'm not addicted to extreme music, to be honest.
So that's fine.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not a metalhead.
Yeah, because you know, I saw you do a drum video doing like a dubstep song.
Yeah, I'm more this in this kind of stuff.
And now it kind of makes sense because you know all the music that you listen to has a lot of that groove.
Dubstep is the hip hop of nowadays.
Of now, yeah.
So, yeah, and the others are got a lot of different influences.
Yeah, I think Adrian and Ben are very much into bands like Devin Townsend, Meshuggah, Tool. Porcupine Tree, you said that.
Yeah, so I guess that brings everyone's.
And Deftones also. We're very much into Deftones.
We have common points, of course. Like
yeah.
Deftones, Meshuggah, everybody.
Everybody likes them.
So,
what's next on the cards for Hackride? I believe you have an album out already, or is it scheduled?
Yeah, it came out on the 22nd of April. Yeah.
And how's the response been for the album
the
so far?
The response has been really good, I think. You know, I didn't really know what to expect because obviously changing the frontman, the singer, is not an easy thing. And also the album was slightly different from the previous albums. But in a way it's not really a surprise because every Hackride album is different when you look at it. But the journalists and the reviews, the critics that we've read so far have been very positive. And the fans seem to be very happy. So, like we say in French, you know, we touch wood when we wish things to go well. And I think it's going well right now. So, yeah, the response is positive.
Very nice. And how much of an involvement did the two of you have with writing all the material for the album? You know,
I didn't have any influence on the composition process because it started almost 2 years ago. 2 years ago, which is a long time. Adrian usually composes back home on his computer with his guitar and everything. Then the band gets together and just jam, you know, and they reflect upon the ideas and arrangements and try to compose as a band. But this time for me, since I arrived after the album was recorded, I just wrote my lyrics and we made a few changes on structures, but nothing really big. And then I put on my vocals. Yeah.
Alright, and what's next on the cards for you guys, you know?
A lot of touring, I guess. We're playing in Barcelona when we come back to France. We're planning a European tour in September. We have a couple of September or October, but we don't really have the dates. It's a bit too early to talk about it, but it's the plan. And then we have a few festivals this summer. So yeah, just a lot of touring, and we might start working on our next album quite soon, because we want to use the creative juice that's flowing between us right now. You know, we have a good collaboration, and so we're gonna start working on a new album soon.
Awesome, sounds great. So apart from music, do you have any hobbies? What do you like to do apart from music?
Unfortunately, I have too many hobbies.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I started doing kite surfing a few years ago, and so when if there's some wind and if there's some sun, it's even better. I'll be on the water just kite surfing, which is something I really enjoy doing. It gives you good sensations. And then I started playing poker, Texas Hold'em poker, recently. Our bassist Ben is also very much into it, and I'm a bit addicted to this game. I have to admit. Yeah, I'm pretty much an addict now, I guess. Yeah.
And what about you, Flo?
Boring political broadcast. I like to read some newspaper, political newspaper, some this kind of stuff, and sharing simple moments with my friends. Sports, a lot of sports too, because you have to keep a good
fitness.
To keep myself in a good health for the drums too. So maybe simple things of life.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, guys, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Are you guys ready to taste the synesthesia? Did I say that correctly? The synesthesia kima pao.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Yeah, sure.
Awesome. So let's go get that synesthesia kima pao. All right, guys, so dig in. That's the synesthesia kima pao. Kima is mutton. Have you ever eaten mutton before?
No, of course. Yeah, mutton, yeah.
Yeah, so dig in. This is the kima pao.
Yeah, it smells really good, I have to say. Should I eat it with the bread?
Yes, eat it with the bread.
It's not common in India, this kind of bread, no?
It is actually. This is, at least in our state, it's very common.
Mmm. It tastes really good.
I really
appreciate that.
Yeah.
But what's inside the part of the mutton?
So this is basically mutton mince. It's cooked with onions and some tomato and some Indian spices. So that, and it's a really simple dish, you know.
You put some coriander?
Yeah, fresh coriander is always like the regular garnish with Indian food.
Yeah, I love coriander.
So good.
Yeah, it tastes great. I give it 5 stars. It's an amazing dish. I love it.
Thank you. So there you have it. They've given the Keema Pao 5 stars. And we'll see you on the next episode of Headbangers Kitchen.
Cheers! Stay heavy!
Alright.
Does it get your approval?
Yeah. Have you ever been going off? I like going over.
Yeah, this is all for you guys.
So
I was anticipating that there'd be more than two of you eating, so I cooked for like 4 people. Or at least I thought it was for 4 people.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.